agencies do not do a good job in marketing their value. And I think in the coming of direct distribution, as that happens more and more, the smart consumer is going to want a good independent agent that is kept up technologically.
Welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted, the show dedicated to innovation in the insurance industry. Each episode, you'll get a dose of thought leadership from the industry's top business minds, influencers, innovators, and executive leaders. If you want to transform your corner of the industry and exchange innovative ideas, you need to subscribe to this podcast. Now here's your host, Abel Travis.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted podcast, where we discuss insurance innovation. So, you know, I took a quick poll on LinkedIn and, you know, I wanted to really get a good understanding of what folks out there were hoping to see and hear about from InsurTech Connect upcoming in October. And, you know, the response was pretty tremendous in regards to some of the things that folks are hoping to see. You know, I also, you know, want to use that as an opportunity to figure out what the next half a year is going to look like on our podcast as we think about bringing new guests, new topic types, and things that's really going to help us to move the needle around the discussion on the transformation that's happening here in the insurance industry. So, you know, it was great to hear some of those ideas, and I am going to, you know, take some of those things and translate it into, you know, really in-depth discussion topics on some specific things impacting the agency channel, impacting, you know, failure or success rates of insurtechs and other things that you laid out. So, you know, thanks for participating in that and just, you know, for engaging with me over the LinkedIn platform. I do appreciate it. Now, before we jump into discussing our topic of the day with the guests, I always want to recognize the sponsor of this episode of the podcast. As I always say, you know, they've been, you know, working with us for quite some time, and we do appreciate them being sponsors for us, and that's Vortex Legal.
Innovation in the insurance field is exciting, and Vortex Legal is a unique and proven solution to help improve a company's loss ratio by substantially reducing legal expenses. Their nationwide network of local attorneys attend the voluminous and routine and predictable hearings for a flat rate, not an hourly rate. So Vortex Legal's solution works with both staff counsel offices as well as outside law firms. They've saved many carriers millions of dollars. So if you want to learn more, just contact Jonathan Broder at 954-473-2648 or visit vortexlegal.com.
So I'm speaking with Ryan Deeds today, the IT director at an independent insurance agency, as well as the co-host of the Digital Broker podcast. Ryan, you know, welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you on here today.
Well, thanks, Abel. I appreciate it. And I appreciate being able to have a podcast about insurance technology and actually more than one of them, right? I mean, because a couple of years back, that wouldn't have happened. And so it's just super cool.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. You know, it's great. And, you know, I've learned a lot about what you're doing in your space with the podcast as well. But, you know, just really quickly, you know, so you consider yourself a data nerd, you know, that's your tag that you have. And, you know, it you know, you say that you spend a majority of your time in your day job working with data in the insurance industry space. So, you know, Ryan, if you don't mind, you know, set the stage for us about your history and your expertise in insurance.
Sure thing. I've been with two independent brokers over my career. I started in 2003 in Middle Florida, in Central Florida, with a broker, Lanier Upshaw. And we went through some really challenging times during the recession. And we had to really dig into why. You know, right before the recession hit, the hurricanes had hit, so everything was kind of hardening up. And we were increasing in revenue. Everything was good. What we didn't understand was we were losing clients. And then when the recession hit, everything kind of dropped. The rates were softening and the clients were just going out of business left and right. And we just started hemorrhaging and we had to really figure out why. So it was kind of like a OJT under fire analytics thing that I had to figure out. But that really brought me to Crichton, creating I was there for 10 years at Lanier Upshaw, and really we did some really neat stuff with analytics. And then we got an opportunity to move back to Clarksville, where my family is, and my wife's a dentist, and so there's a practice here for her. So we moved back, and I had met Crichton over my career, and they offered me the position. I took it, and then ever since then, we've just been running. It's really fun. Crichton is a very interesting independent because of the youth that they have in ownership there, which I think is key for technological advancement. Not so much because of the age, but more because of the financial leverage and where they have to move the stock price to make things happen.
So I want to dig a little bit about you being in the agency space. So I feel like with your history that you're veering more towards the agency space. Now, is there a specific reason behind that, or a reason in regards to working more closely with the policyholder and with direct connection there, which is the reason why you're there and not in the carrier? Or I'd love to get some insights into that.
Well, I think it happened accidentally. Probably most of us as a technologist, you have a lot of options. But in 2007, my wife went to dental school and we were separated for 4 years, and I really needed the stability. And so I ended up spending a decade at this insurance agency in Florida. So after I had all this operational knowledge, and I've never been just a nuts and bolts, hey, infrastructure guy. My deal has always been business solution. How do we change IT from plumbing to business advantage? And what does that look like? And obviously things were much different in 2008 than they are today, but that was still my focus. You know, how do we minimize support vectors in the agency space? And I've learned so much about the insurance agency model, perpetuation, what drives it, and operations inside of that, that it just made sense from a financial aspect and from an innovation aspect, because I think I've kept close to my technical roots. I'm a SQL developer and a Python coder. I'm a bad Python coder, but I can put some cool stuff together. But in the insurance agency space, it's easy to be kind of a rock star if you have, a little bit of technical ability, because it's not a real big pond. We're so small in the distribution channel that typically they don't have the capital to afford to keep IT people. I see people roll out real quickly in insurance for the most part. And that's because I think the independent agencies don't want to pay the salary. They can't see the commensurate value a lot of times. And I was just lucky. I mean, I've landed with two really caliber shops, and I've consulted with a bunch of different organizations. And I also have a fundamental belief that the insurance agent is an advocate for the consumer, that and our value proposition gets lost so quickly. You know, you look at these insurtech folks, and I talk to a lot of them, and a lot of times that they think that we don't do anything for the premium, the percentage that we get on our commission from the premiums. You know, if they just kind of think that that's an easy win. And in all the shops that I've consulted with and been in, that's just not the case. I mean, we care about the clients. We care about getting just the right coverage, right? Not too much, not too little. I think of the agent as searching for Goldilocks. I mean, we're searching for that perfect fit for the client, and then we're the advocate for them. And so I think that that mission and that value proposition gets lost tons. Agencies do not do a good job in marketing their value. And I think in the coming of direct distribution, as that happens more and more, the smart consumer is going to want a good independent agent that is kept up technologically with them.
I got to say, I agree with that. You know, whenever I talk about the agency space, it's always about saying that, you know, the agent provides the highest level of value from an asset perspective within this industry, because the agencies are the direct conduits to the customer, to those that are seeking policies from the insurance organizations. Now, you know, you mentioned, the way that insurtechs look at the agency channel and thinking that it's easy and that there's not a lot of value provided there. And I think you're right. I think, there's a lot that see it from that perspective and think that it's easy to jump right into this space and then, you know, do something different that's going to provide a different level of value. But I don't believe for one second that, you know, that's going to create any level of agency disintermediation, from what some of these insurtechs are doing. Now, you know, from an insurtech's perspective, you know, in regards to innovating the industry, they're hoping to take the intermediaries out of the process and then grab those customers directly, right? So, I'm glad that we have an opportunity to talk, because, you know, we never really get the chance to hear the perspective from the seat of the agent. And now, just being upfront, as I mentioned, I don't believe that the agency channel is going to go away at all. I think that there's a lot of things and technology out there that can help to augment the process. But Ryan, from your perspective, just lay out what some of the challenges and opportunities agents have when dealing with insurance transformation that's been going on all around us.
Man, I think it's such an interesting relationship in where we are in the whole chain, because unfortunately we're the smallest organization in the just in the entire chain. We have the least amount of capital to reinvest, and we don't work together very effectively. In the last couple of years, there's been a lot more collaboration between agents, but you know, before 2010, you sure didn't see that, right? It was don't let that guy see anything that we're doing, and it might give him a competitive advantage. And now you have a much different mindset where you are a lot more willing to collaborate, because honestly, we're going to have to be able to move forward as an industry. Carriers have hundreds of millions of dollars to invest in, you know, heck, just go invest in an insurtech company to see if it works or not, and then take out the pieces that are cool about it and integrate that into their systems. I mean, that's when I look at most insurtechs today, I see a test bed for carriers where they're able to go out and test the consumer demand. The carrier says that was a good idea. Let's move forward with that. And from the agent perspective, we can't do that. I mean, you've got to have we have all the compliance issues to deal with, all the security issues to deal with, all the E&O. I mean, E&O is the largest challenge. It's that and hiring are the things that we talk about the most in the insurance agency space. Attracting millennials, you know, how does a small organization keep a millennial engaged to not go to a super huge broker or to a carrier after 2 or 3 years? I mean, and those are strategic challenges that you've got to have a hell of a good operations team to be able to figure out how you do that. And then I think that, you know, the carriers, I never get the feeling that the carriers like us a whole lot. They sure don't make it easy to do business. I think about, you know, everybody says the carriers are slow. And I don't believe that. I think the carriers have a vested interest to not make the transference of insurance between them fast. You know, nobody wants. That's why LexisNexis Insurance Exchange failed. That's why, you know, RiskMatch's profit model didn't work out as well as they thought it would, because none of those carriers want to come on and be spreadsheeted. And so, you know, but you look at direct bill. When they wanted to implement direct bill, it took them like 2 years, 3 years. I mean, they did it really quickly. But that was because they were getting that money back. You take claims download, which is something that agents desperately need, because all of our clients are wanting baselines for claims analytics. You know, where do I fall in claims versus my peers? You know, where are my claims happening? How do we reduce those? And there's no easy way to get that. There's no standard that the carriers have come up with and said, hey, here we go. I mean, and so you got to clutch stuff together to make it to work, or you go buy like an origami that's just super freaking expensive. And so, you know, you got to be innovative in the space. You have to have really good leadership. I mean, I've worked with a lot of principals in my time, and the gang that we have at Crichton, I mean, so many of those guys are under 40 and owners, and they have a vested interest to move that needle. And, you know, to get that value from where it is today to where they want it to be in 20 years. And the changes that we have to do now, I mean, when you have those agents of change in the organization, it helps so much. But so many independents don't have that. They don't have a good perpetuation path. They haven't planned for it. It's not something you can just invent overnight. And so, I mean, I think all of those make for a very, very interesting challenge. And then as omni-channel comes up, I think agents are afraid of commission compression, you know, afraid of how do we continue to satiate the demands that Lemonade creates in the consumer at a technological price point that we can make profitable. I think most of us in the agency space feel under attack. And it is. I think it's a very challenging time. I think we'll continue to see a lot of M&A like we are seeing. But I think those that niche out, get deep expertise, figure out how to provide value at scale will win. And I think that the intelligent consumer will want that agent in place. We just have to figure out how to market that value proposition and how to bring true value to those relationships.
Absolutely. You know, just one of the things that you mentioned a little bit earlier, and then, you know, around some of these insurtechs being test beds for carriers. You know, a lot of people that I speak to, you know, talk about the fact that there's a lot of these insurtechs out there, like Lemonade as an example, that may be transforming and innovating the space if we're talking about distribution, if we're talking about data and those sorts of things. And I can tell you personally, what I always tell folks is I actually don't fear the insurtechs. You know, they're small, they're undercapitalized, they don't have a lot of capital capacity resource to do the things that we need within the insurance space. And the only way that they can do that really well is to partner with the carrier. So personally, I don't fear the insurtechs. What I fear is the capital that a lot of these much larger multi-billion dollars carriers have, you know, to swoop up and buy some of these insurtechs and then, you know, get a great understanding of what their capabilities are and then take the technology and then integrate it into their platform and then bring that carrier to the next level over the others within the industry that don't have as much capital to play around and try to figure out where the true opportunities are. You know, just thinking about what you mentioned around, you know, the data downloads or the claims data downloads and in regards to, you know, a need in the independent agent and just in the agency space in general. You know, it's funny enough, you know, just about a month or so ago, I was at a conference in Boston and we talked about that exact need. And you know, I sit on the carrier side, but this didn't come from me, but someone on the carrier side mentioned that, you know, once you give access or direct access to other elements of data that becomes proprietary to the carrier, then you're giving up something. You're giving up the control that you would once have. And it doesn't matter, you know, from their perspective, if they were engaging with an insurtech or if they're engaging, which I think who are the carrier's biggest assets, and that's the broker and the agency channel. You know, so Ryan, you know, you mentioned Lemonade as an example. You know, so just really quickly, you know, what do you think about companies like Lemonade who are really flipping the carrier model on its side and trying to cut brokers and agencies out of the process along the way? You know, how do you feel about those types of things, especially when it comes to changes in distribution?
I'm great with Lemonade right now because that's not sustainable right now. The problem that I have with Lemonade is it creates an unreal expectation for the consumer and dumbs down insurance to a place that it really doesn't help anybody at all in the industry. And so if you set the expectation that you're going to be able to take a picture of something and then automatically get insurance for that, you know, I saw a cover like 2 years ago and I was blown away. I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. But when you pull back the covers a little bit, it wasn't, you know, there wasn't a lot of magic there. It was just going and it was kind of a lead gen almost. Lemonade, they obviously have a much different scale. But I still think that they are going to get picked up. I think that the consumers, the biggest challenge is really how they change the expectation of what we need to be. That's what scares me. I cannot have technology that is so outdated that somebody says, oh my gosh, I'm not even talking to that agent. You know, that's crazy talk. I need to at least be able to have some kind of ability to maintain competitive nature there. And I think that's very, very challenging. And I think that there's a lot of insurtechs that are trying to help the agents if we can help ourselves. I mean, and you know, we're very adverse to change and we have a hard time adopting new things. Some of that's because of E&O and some of that's because of the employees that we hire and then we train them to be risk adverse. And so, you know, it's one of those conundrums that the operations team does really have to focus on. But Lemonade is kind of a footnote for most of us. I mean, we know it exists. We see it out there. We would love to be able to do something like that. But with the same understanding that as an agent, we would never, you'll just never be able to do that. You know, so what can you do in that same line that would provide some of that same value? But that's the main thing. I think it adjusts the consumer expectation and sometimes detrimentally. You know, they always talk about get your engaged clients and teach them about insurance. Well, the vast majority of the clients don't give a damn about insurance until the claim happens, you know. And so it's the good clients, your great clients that really have a loss control strategy and they want to leverage your services to reduce their total cost of risk. I mean, but that's rare. You know, those are the ones you're always looking for.
Just to go back to something that you mentioned in regards to the changing customer expectations, you know, what I always say is the fact that I think about, you know, who the customers are and what the customers expect based on some of these other industries that's been going through a digital transformation, you know, like the Googles and Amazons and Facebooks that they may be used to engaging with. You know, so some of these folks are so used to engaging in that particular way that 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 there's organizations like a Lemonade or you know a Cover Wallet or some of the others that allow you know for the digital engagement to access the policy, to bind a policy, especially when you're talking about the low complexity, you know, highly commoditized policy types. Now, what that does, however, though, is it creates the expectation, I think, long term, that, you know, as soon as that individual has to engage with a carrier or even an agency that's on the traditional side of the house, you know, where they have to go through a non-digital channel in order to get access to coverage, they're going to become a little confused in regards to how to do that because they're not used to receiving things in that particular way. So to the point that you made, I think you're spot on. You know, we have to be able to look at what the expectations are. We have to look at the technologies that are made available and then align ourselves and realign our value propositions to meet the changing customer demands and the changing customer expectations. Now, you know, that really then hones in on what I'd love to get your perspective on. And that's, you know, who or what do you see as the biggest threat or opportunities from a partnership perspective, or just from an innovation and transformation perspective in the insurance industry for the broker and the agent world?
See, it's so funny because I think there's so many buzzwords that are 5 years out. You know, so we talk about blockchain and we talk about IoT, and to be honest, if I'm an agent out there, the one technology that I need to understand better than anything else is APIs. You know, APIs, like I just finished, this is what I was working on all day, where you can text in a street and a zip code and it emails you, it texts you back a link with all this data from Google Earth and all this stuff. And then there's an instant application where you click on that and it pre-fills the application from these APIs. And it's just a proof of concept to kind of show, like, this is where we can go with this if we devote some resources. And this is very low cost, low tech stuff because there's more and more APIs available today. And so I think the greatest opportunity is APIs, because you can leverage so much advanced stuff that are sitting behind these low code overhead kind of solutions. I mean, just the stuff that you can do today, like, I mean, you know, it's annoying because, all right, I created this I'm a big text coder. I love coding on SMS. It's such an accessible platform and I just love it. So I thought, okay, this would be cool. Take a picture of yourself, send that into a text number, run that past four Vision APIs, you know, your AWS, four different AIs that are using, seeing things in pictures, get demographic information back from that user, verify that information with the user, and then send that to a life insurance carrier that would do an instant quote. But I couldn't find a life insurance carrier that would take, that had an API that I could send that data to get it back. I mean, and so I think that there is a ton of capability, but we've got to have partnerships on the carrier side to be able to make some of this stuff come to fruition. Or it's just, I build half the stuff I build and I just know it will go nowhere because I don't have an end result to get it to, you know? And so the biggest challenges are standstill, you know, just not paying attention. But I think that that's really based on the perpetuation model of the independent. If there's not a good perpetuation model in place today where they're internally perpetuating, then they have to sell, they're selling out to somebody. Their technological, investment is very low at this point. That they're not caring a whole lot about moving that needle very far. It's those guys that are buying in or internally perpetuating that have good strategies about how they may survive. Because I think that there's going to be a lot of shakeout. I mean, I think there will be a lot of agents that cannot compete in today's world, and definitely in tomorrow's. And so, you know, I think that there will be great agents out there that will be able to remain independent. But that's not just going to happen. You know, that's going to be a force of will, cultural adoption, change, you know, change management, these very purposeful steps that these agencies have taken to remain relevant.
I completely agree with you on that. And just in regards to the APIs, you know, personally, I look at that as a way to even make the legacy technology that's sitting around in a lot of these, traditional carriers, you know, much more accessible if there's a way to figure out that layer, right? I got to tell you, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, I was in Nashville at a conference there. And you know, we, again, interesting enough, we were having a conversation about APIs. And one of the the things that came up in regards to that is, you know, carriers tend to view it. I mean, this was another carrier individual. You know, they tend to view it as an open door to potential breach of PII or personally identified information that's being held by that carrier, especially if there's not strengthened security that's around access, you know, to the data that's being, you know, given back and forth through the API.
I think it's a strategic message that they've come up with that. It's like back in the day when you'd say, hey, let's use this. The agent would say, oh, no, that's an E&O issue. Right. I mean, and you're like, how does that correlate back to an E&O issue? So I think that it's easy to pick an excuse for them for why. But when we see so many companies doing so much stuff with data and financial information, there's no way that they don't have the capability to be able to demonstrate what leaves and what doesn't. You know, it just drives me nuts, though.
I agree with you. And honestly, I believe personally, so I sit on the carrier side myself, and I just look at it as a way to reduce friction to the technology, to data, and then also to help with innovation. So you're absolutely right. You know, I think that there's always excuses as to why we can't do something. But I think over time, you know, at some point, it's going to become table stakes. You know, it's going to become the norm in how we operate. And I think that those that adopt the technology and adopt the way that we can position this over the technology, you know, much more rapidly and quickly, and then, you know, enable that somewhat connected ecosystem with some of these insurtechs and others that are providing solutions that's accessible through APIs, I think those are going to be those that the organizations that's going to do really well and that's going to win, right? You know, so just thinking about, you know, again, this the changing insurance landscape. You know, there's just been so many things that's happening, not only from a technology perspective, but, you know, even when you look at the economy, there's been things that really hasn't panned out exactly as economists were talking about, but like the gig economy and those sorts of things where, you know, employees are doing things differently, organizations are operating within or hiring a little bit differently through gig efforts and so on. So, you know, so there's a lot that's been changing in this landscape that, you know, we on both, I think, the carrier side as well as the agency side need to be more cognizant of, you know, how to meet those expectations. So just thinking about that, are you all in the agency space concerned with a lot of these changing transformations in the insurance landscape, or are you looking for ways to better engage and then better align yourselves with, you know, what those transformations and changes are in order to continue to be successful on a go-forward basis?
Yeah, I mean, I think the main word I think about is relevancy. You know, I think about that the most. How do I keep my agency relevant? What do we need to be doing to maintain? I don't need to be cutting edge and bleeding edge, but I need to not. My technology needs to still be advantageous, and it sure doesn't need to be holding me back. We're small enough that we can change more rapidly than large organizations. And so, I mean, I think that, yeah, we definitely look at what's going on in the industry. We then may try to take something from what they're doing and try to apply that. Our, you know, the big push right now is customer experience, however one wants to define that. You know, and so trying to figure out the value proposition. I mean, I think a lot about, you know, what other business things are agencies the best positioned to deliver to the client that would bolster the commission dollars from the insurance itself. And, you know, a large loss control group, and we have a very substantial loss control team. I think those can do that. I think you can bring in incident tracking platforms, but so much of it is being driven by what others are doing. You know, in a lot of cases, you can't do the big thing. You've got to distill that down to this little thing and see if you can knock that out. And if that wins, then you feel good about it. And you're like, okay, today, maybe we're doing okay. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and just in regards to some of the other service types and things that provide so much value to the customer and to the policyholder, you know, you mentioned, you know, having a big loss control group. You know, I look at things like claim services and those sorts of things where, you know, even when you go beyond the product and when you go beyond the technology, those are true areas of values that customers are looking for to either help them mitigate a claim claim or to, you know, control, you know, the direction in which a claim that might have already occurred has gone in, right? And I see that as being something that can't be replicated by, you know, folks that are hoping to jump into this industry in the insurtech space, you know, that don't have the deep level of subject matter expertise to really hone in on what those customer needs are and then how insurance organizations, whether it's on both the carrier or the agency side, can provide for those customer needs. So, you know, just thinking about, you know, long term in regards to, you know, what's been happening in the industry and where the future is going, you know, I guess this is a two-part question. You know, the first is, you know, what do you see overall as, you know, the vision? And I know we don't want to have a crystal ball to say what's happening a couple of years from now, but what do you see as some opportunities that might be occurring in a couple of years from now? And then as well as, you know, what are some of the big of your biggest pain points that you would hope can get solved when dealing with carriers?
I mean, the pain point instantly is data access. I mean, you know, if it's when you look at what we had to do, we've put together like a consolidated claims dashboard where our clients can log into, our largest clients can log into it, and they can see it, see their claims. I mean, that was hard to put together, not from a technological standpoint, but from a data massaging and data access standpoint, where we're having to pull down PDFs or Excel files. And so any kind of data access, I would think down the stretch would be taken care of. I think, like you said, it'll be table stakes that will have to happen. You know, I think that technology, from our perspective and where we're going with it, we will continue to reduce operational overhead so we can allow our account managers to have more client time. There's not much that will replace a sympathetic individual or somebody who is engaged into your life and your problem. You know, AI is not going to replace that. AI is not going to cry when you take a loss. You know, it's not showing up with a chainsaw to cut you out of stuff. And so I think that there will always be a component of consumers. And it's interesting because you see this back and forth. I mean, you see Tinder is a huge deal, but now that this next generation that's coming up is kind of burned out on it. And they want to push back against it in some cases because it's made relationships so transactional. And I kind of feel like we may see that as well. Like there's going to be – we may be able to look at people who use, you know, only AI and say, hey, we have the human component and that's what we bank on. And so I think my vision is to try to get video, easy video with my clients that want it to be omni-channel, to be wherever they are, to make their data collection easy, and to continue to try to make it, to give them things that they want. That's the hardest part. I mean, you can create every portal you want in the world, but it's insurance. And so, like a buddy of mine says, it's oftentimes a grudge purchase and nobody's really excited about it, you know? And so they log in when they have to. It's I would love to figure out a compelling offering to get them to log in more so we can engage them better, you know, our clients. But those are kind of what I see. I mean, I'll tell you, I put one of my caring account managers up against almost anybody because that empathy, that sympathy, that knowledge that they have in their niche and their expertise and how passionate they are about trying to provide coverage and find the right thing. I mean, these are folks that have dedicated their lives to protecting others. And a lot of them take that to heart, you know, and I never thought I would be excited about being in insurance, but now I feel like with the agency space, we're kind of under attack and I can maybe help, you know, in a very small way, show what some of the capabilities are for agencies that don't have large budgets, you know.
Just thinking about the human element of the insurance space, you know, and I think you're right, you know, just in regards to, you know, people are looking for that human touch, you know, that people are looking for things in ways that technology isn't going to be able to provide to you. Now, there might be, you know, situations in which technology can help to augment or make things better, but they're not going to be able to to your point, cry with you after you get into a car accident or if you lose a home, right? You know, to that point that you made, insurance is absolutely a purchase that that's more of you know, people not really, you know, honing in on buying the insurance. What I always say is, you know, nobody buys insurance. You know, if you're a homeowner, you're buying your home. If you're a car owner, you're buying a car, right? But there's a requirement that you have insurance there. You know, so nobody is looking to buy the insurance. They're buying the home and they're buying that car, and they want you to be excited for them as they're closing on that home and as they're getting that new car in the driveway and so on. So, you know, just I really agree just in regards to this industry. You know, we're at a turning point, and this is just one of the best times to be in insurance. And I honestly believe that, you know, those that are within this industry have an opportunity to make such a great impact for our customers that are looking to work with us and get the necessary coverages that they need. So, you know, Ryan, you know, one of the questions that I always like to ask to get your perspective and to make this tangible for folks that are listening here today, you know, if there's one piece of advice that you can give the listeners about, you know, just thinking more innovatively and differently about the work at hand and the job at hand that they're doing and doing things differently than the status quo in order to ensure that we're meeting the needs of the customer, you know, what piece of advice would you give that individual?
Get granular. I mean, I'm not innovative. My staff has problems. I work with my staff closely. I have good account managers that can out inefficient things, and I call it soul sucking tasks. So they say, hey, I hate this task. This is a soul sucking task. That gives me my target to get rid of it. And then people say, oh, wow, Crichton Group's innovative, right? I mean, and so to me, so often we stay in this conceptual high level area and we have all these grandiose plans, but we forget that it's the soldiers on the ground that actually enact the battle, right? It's those account managers and those account manager assistants that are going to try to leverage the technology that everybody's pitching. So you better get on the ground. You better talk to those people. You better understand what the pain that they're feeling is to make sure that the solutions that you're trying to provide are aligned with those that will actually leverage it. Because I think that's a component that is just missed all the time.
Absolutely. You know, so, hey, Ryan, you know, I want to say thank you for joining me here on the Insurance Innovators Unscripted podcast. You know, just talk to the audience a little bit about really quickly about your podcast and then also, you know, the best way for them to you know, get access to it and also to contact you.
So best way to contact me is on LinkedIn. I have a podcast with Steve Anderson where we try to talk in-depthly about insurance agency operations. It's specifically for insurance agents and anybody that's trying to understand that space. And we have a good time. We talk about all kinds of stuff. We're starting to bring guests on, and that's been really fun for us. And then I also want to throw out Insurance Nerds. The Insurance Nerds, if your listeners don't know them, they should. They're a great group that is that I do a lot of technical work for, and their message is so on key. I love them to death. And like you said, Abel, it is such a cool time to be in insurance, and I don't know that I've ever thought that I would say that, but the things that we're enabled to do now and the things that people looked at you sideways maybe 3 or 4 years ago, now they're kind of clapping, and it's just a very compelling environment to be in.
Absolutely. You know, so Ryan, once again, thank you. I truly appreciate you being here on the podcast, and you know, I'm looking forward to you know, just following what you've been doing in the agency space.
Well, I appreciate it, man, and I love that you're out there and that you're a voice for all of us.
Thanks for listening again to this episode of the Insurance Innovators Unscripted Podcast. You know, as I mentioned all the time, I love to get the perspective of those from across the spectrum, whether it's the agency side, the carrier side, insurtechs, or those that are innovating technology or other areas. So, you know, I truly appreciate having you all as listeners, and I hope you got a lot from what we talked about. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.